An oil and gas workers' strike in Norway is fueling growing concerns about a European energy shock. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Offshore workers have begun a strike today that's likely to cause a significant reduction in both oil and gas output destined for Europe. Only one of three relevant unions is striking, but they plan to escalate their walkout in the coming days so that by Saturday, national gas output could be down by 25% and oil production down by 15%. That threat is sending European natural gas prices up 7% at this hour, while global oil prices are mixed. Meanwhile, the euro is trading at a two-decade low against the U.S. dollar, while stock markets across the region are down in the 1.1 to 1.3% range. Gladys Fouché is the Oslo bureau chief for Reuters. She told me why, with energy supplies so tight already across Europe, oil and gas workers are picking now to strike.
These Norwegian offshore workers are striking because, like many other workers around the globe, they are concerned about inflation. Inflation in Norway has accelerated, and they are seeing their wages not keeping up with inflation, and they are concerned about that.
The number of people actually participating in this strike is fairly small. Why is it going to have such a big impact?
These particular workers are the most senior workers on platforms, and they are considered essential to the good operations of a platform. So if they're not working, you have to shut down the platform.
And can you just explain for us how much we're expecting supply to be disrupted?
We're going to see a gradual escalation of the strike. Today we have three fields have shut, and if employers do not meet the demands of the union, you know, we're going to see in the coming days more platforms shutting down. By Saturday, we could see close to 25% of Norwegian daily gas output being cut and about 15% of Norwegian oil output. I mean, it's coming at a time when, particularly in Europe, European countries are looking for any gas they can get hold of that is not coming from Russia. And Norway is the second largest supplier of energy to Europe after Russia. And it's considered a reliable, predictable supplier. So this particular industrial action is coming at a quite critical time.
So given that, is there any sign of a compromise before we get to that big cut in output by the weekend?
There is dialogue, but there's no resolution. There's also another option that's possible, and that is that the Norwegian government can come in and impose a settlement, and they can shut down the strike. But the government is saying that it is closely following the strike action, but as of now, there is no sign that they're going to intervene.
Gladys Fouché, this is certainly one to watch. Reuters Oslo bureau chief, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Well, that energy disruption from Russia's war in Ukraine has thrown renewed focus on other energy sources, and it's raised questions about how viable they are and how quickly they can be more fully developed. One of the biggest issues for renewable sources is ensuring there's still power when it's not sunny or windy. Researchers in Finland might have one option. They've developed the world's first fully working sand battery, which they say can solve the problem of year-round supply, as the BBC's Matt McGraw reports.
In a town in western Finland, a pump pushes hot air into a large container of builder's sand. These rough and ready grains are surprisingly effective at retaining heat, storing it at very high temperatures for months at a time. The sand-based technology aims to overcome one of the biggest challenges facing renewable energy. What do you do when the wind doesn't blow and the sun doesn't shine? In the summer, when solar and wind energy are cheap, electricity is used to warm the sand to around 500 degrees Celsius. The hot silica is then used to warm water for a district heating system when energy prices are higher. According to Elina Seppänen, an energy specialist with the city of Tampere Council, sand offers advantages, especially during the cold Finnish winter.
If we have some stations that are just there for a few weeks, few hours in the wintertime when it's the coldest, it's going to be extremely expensive. If we have this sort of solutions that provide flexibility for the use and for the storage of heat, that would help a lot in the expenses, I think.
Finland's decision to join NATO has seen Russia cut off gas and electricity supplies. So the development of a cheap, efficient sand battery is extremely timely.
That's the BBC's Matt McGraw reporting there. To a topic now that was once a daily news headline before the pandemic and war in Ukraine broke out, progress finally on the U.S.-China trade spat. It comes as President Biden is considering lifting some restrictions to try to contain rising U.S. inflation. The BBC's Joao De Silva has more on that story.
It appears the U.S. and China are getting ready to at least ease some of the tension that we've seen in relations between the world's two largest economies since 2018. According to a statement released by the Chinese side, the video call between China's Vice Premier Liu He and Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen was by and large constructive. Liu He called for the lifting of U.S. sanctions and tariffs, as well as for the fair treatment of Chinese companies. In similar fashion, the Treasury has said the tone of the talks was candid and substantive. The U.S. side saying that Yellen raised concerns about what the U.S. describes as unfair non-market economic practices by China. The Office of the U.S. Trade Representative is conducting a mandatory four-year review of the Trump-era tariffs, some of which are expiring as soon as this week. So it really is decision time for the U.S. president. And just to give you an idea of what's at stake, those tariffs cover some $300 billion worth of Chinese goods.
That's the BBC's Joao De Silva in Singapore there. And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.